Thanks for listening to another message from Life Christian Church. We hope it challenges and encourages you and helps you to grow in your faith. Don't forget, download our app to stay up to date with what's going on at Life, share your prayer requests or pray for others, read the Bible online and much, much more. Simply search for Life Christian Church in your app store.
As a society, generally speaking, people are becoming increasingly isolated from one another. As a culture, we are radically different from what we were a decade ago, even perhaps a few years ago. Human interaction is on the decrease. We see it across so many sectors in society. Let's just talk for a second about goods and services, for example. It started out many years ago with banks and ATMs. No longer did you have to go into a bank and see a teller to withdraw money. You went to the machine on the outside of the bank and now everywhere. But it's become such a part of our culture, we don't think about it. And then service stations. Well, we can't call them service stations anymore. They're now petrol stations because you don't get service. You can go in there, fill up. You fill up yourself. And then many places now, you just tap at the bowser and you're on your way. And again, we isolate. Even in supermarkets nowadays, you can go and do a whole fortnight shopping for your whole family in a supermarket without interacting with a single person. Fill up your shopping trolley and check yourself out. And then horror of horrors, even McDonald's, the bastion of fine service and dining. You're not no longer greeted at McDonald's by a 14-year-old school kid with their first part-time job trying to learn about customer service. You go into a McDonald's now and you've got a bank of interactive screens where you place your own order, you process the payment, and all you've got to do is go and get it when the number is called. I don't know if you've been to an airport recently, but self-serve check-in at an airport. And so we have shifted, we've shifted, our society totally has shifted from customer service to self-service, and as we increasingly isolate. And then as we know, the huge uptake in just online shopping. Yeah, you don't even have to go to a store anymore. You can have everything delivered to your home. Everything that you need, you can get without even getting out of your lounge chair. And this is the way society is heading. Even today in education, you look at the education sector. Of everyone today currently studying a university degree in Australian universities, studying an undergraduate degree, 1 in 10 of those are studying online. 10.1% of all people studying an undergraduate degree are doing that online. When you look at postgraduate degree, it's even worse. 23.7% of postgraduate study students are studying online. Almost a quarter are studying online. That's almost 1 in 4 postgraduate students that never sit in a classroom with others. And for many of them, the only time they meet their classmates is for 2 hours at their graduation. And this is the way society is heading out. Society is becoming increasingly disconnected, increasingly withdrawn, and increasingly isolated. And isolation leads to loneliness, and then we see through loneliness the emotional distress then that gives rise to all kinds of mental illness issues that statistically are climbing absolutely out of control. And now with digital communication, our preferred method of communication is no longer conversation. You have far more text conversations than you do real conversations. Gone are the days where you'd pick up the phone and call somebody. Now most of our communication is done with a one-line text with a little emoji, cute emoji stuck on the end of it. And then the general response to that one-line text piece of communication is not even a text in return, it's just a cute emoji in return. And so communication and interaction is becoming less and less and less. And not only that, but with the addiction to smartphones and the addiction to social media, even when we are with others, as we saw in that clip, we're not actually in the room. We're constantly distracted. Even as parents, it's far easier to keep my kids preoccupied with a screen than it is to take the time to go outside and teach them to learn how to ride a bike. And this is the challenge of the age that we live in. And again, I don't want to sound alarmist this morning, but I think there is a huge spiritual attack that underlines this whole space. You see, if we are in a spiritual battle, as the Bible says we are, we must realize that in battle, isolation is a key strategic battle scenario. If you can isolate the enemy, if you can separate the enemy from one another, if you can isolate them, you can win the battle. The enemy are easily defeated. It's interesting, if somebody has a substance addiction, say for whatever reason somebody falls into either alcohol abuse or drug abuse, the way that you counter the way that you effectively combat that, the way that you effectively release somebody from addiction is to put them in a group. You put them into community. An addict never, ever, ever releases themselves from an addiction. They never kick a habit on their own. The key strategy for breaking addiction is in community. The worst thing an addict can do is to isolate. That's why we have support groups. And that's why support groups work. In a group, there is acceptance, there is strength, there is accountability, there is an encouragement found when we meet with others. But when we are isolated, we are totally, totally vulnerable. In community, we're strengthened. And here's what dawned on me as I was preparing this message. If we are vulnerable when we're isolated, and most people would universally agree that isolation is not actually a good thing, certainly not over the long term. But get a hold of this. We know that the devil plays dirty. We know he is cunning. We know he is crafty. So what if the devil, a few decades ago, came up with a plan to conquer humanity, to defeat humanity, spiritually speaking? And what if that battle plan was this? All I have to do is get humanity addicted to isolation. All I have to do is get humanity addicted to isolation. And I look around and I see that this is what is happening, and not just in westernized cultures, but the world over. People, without knowing it, are becoming addicted to isolation. And there's the irony, because we know long-term isolation is not a healthy thing, and yet increasingly we're becoming more and more isolated. And friends, this is where the church must be countercultural. Can I hear an amen? From the very, very beginning, God said in Genesis 2 and 18, it is not good for man to be alone. Proverbs 18 and 1, one who has isolated himself seeks his own desires. He rejects all sound judgment. Hebrews 10 and 24, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Friends, Christians should never ever isolate themselves from other Christians. When Kerry and I planted this church 15 years ago, we turned 15 last weekend, if you weren't here, which is awesome. The statistic as far as church planting and church demographics and church statistics, the statistic was that we were well aware of at that time, that a third of your people are away any given Sunday. Probably in the last 5 years, globally, that statistic now translates to 50% of your congregation are away any one Sunday. In more recent years, just even in the last 18 months to 2 years, it seems that that global statistic has shifted even further to be 30% of people are in church any given Sunday. And again, we are living in a culture where we are just not committed to community. We're not committed to gathering together. We're not committed to meeting together. And I don't want to rail against social media. I don't want to rail against this information age and this technological age that we live in, because it can be a great tool. We have never had the access to information. We've never had access to godly resource like we do today. But what we must realize and what we must rail against is this inclination to allow all of that stuff and the online world and the online consumer world and the online information world and the online communities to keep us out of human interaction. Because the reality is, if that statistic continues in the way that it does, and what happens nowadays is most people consider regular church attendance 2 times or once a month. Again, society today is very, very different to what it was 20 or 30 years ago when Sunday was not a trading day. And we recognize we live in a 24/7, 7-day-a-week commercial environment. And so, yes, there are good reasons. But friends, we must recognize that God has created us. God, in his infinite wisdom, has created us for community. You know, we think that a sign, for example, for men, a sign of masculinity is for a man to be independent. And that's a fallacy. You cannot actually find the word independence in the Bible, because God has not created us to live independently. He has created us to live interdependently and in total dependence upon him. And so, friends, we must be, as a church, incredibly counter-cultural. I love the fact that when God gave the vision for this church to Kerry and I about 16 years ago, I find this very interesting, that even before the church started, even before smartphones, even before Facebook, God gave to us a core vision that at its very heart is a direct attack against the devil's strategy of isolationism. And here it is. It's up there. It's in your newsletter. Nurturing people, supporting families, building community. I had no idea back then how profound that would be, and increasingly so, in the culture that we live in today, in the culture that our kids are growing in today, where people increasingly have become isolated. Here's the irony about that. Not too many people would look at a statement of purpose like that, nurturing people, supporting families, building community, and dare suggest that that's actually a negative thing. It's a good thing. Nurturing people, that's good. Supporting families, fantastic. Building community, great. And yet in a world that is becoming increasingly addicted to isolation, it is an incredibly and increasingly a countercultural statement. And I think increasingly it's going to become a more confronting statement. Friends, in the New Testament, there are 50-something scriptures that are actual commands that can only be obeyed and lived out in the context of Christian fellowship, in the context of Christian community. And we call them the one another's of the New Testament. And these aren't nice ideas. These aren't vague suggestions. They are commands. Commands in the Bible that cannot be fulfilled unless you are in fellowship with other Christians. John 13:35, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And this is just a few of them. Romans 12 and 10. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Ephesians 5 and 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Galatians 3 and 13. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Romans 15 and 7. Accept one another. Colossians 3 and 16. Teach and admonish one another. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 11. Therefore encourage one another. Galatians 5 and 13, serve one another in love. And you have this beautiful picture of Christian community that is underscored by these commands that you and I as Christ followers cannot fulfill unless we're in the space of others. And so the church, to its very core, its very being, its very nature is countercultural because we are drawn into fellowship. We are drawn into relationship. And I believe to the core of my being that the church increasingly is going to be the best model of community to our world out there, which is forgotten and increasingly so is forgetting what community is all about. So back to the statistics. If our commitment to one another is once a month, hey, that's cool, but as I said before, how does that translate in generations to come? What are you modeling to your kids, and what will regular attendance look like for that generation? Because the statistics are on the decline. And again, notwithstanding, there are very valid reasons why some people cannot get to church regularly on a Sunday. And I love what happens in this place on a Sunday. I love the corporate gathering where we get to raise our voices. There's something great that happens here. But let me tell you, that's a couple of hours on a Sunday. The other thing that happens in a corporate setting like this, when there is hundreds of people gathered together, is that even in a crowd, you can still be a little bit anonymous and remain a little bit isolated. And so our strategy to counter that is that we learn to do life together in small groups, in life groups. And that's why our life group ministry is so vastly important, because that's where the one another's of Christian fellowship actually take place. They don't take place corporately for 2 hours on a Sunday morning. It takes place when you and I start doing the journey together. And so you've got to understand that this is our heart, and when we announce life groups, it's not because we want to give you something else to do, it's because we recognize that that is at the core, that is at the heart of what it is to truly be Christian. To be in an environment where we are encouraging each other, where we are loving each other, where we are looking out for each other, where we are praying for one another, where we are bearing one another's burdens. And that's the beauty of life group. It's not even about the material. You know, we have a material for, you know, to encourage you. We have material that helps, you know, you guys just discuss stuff. But it's about you guys doing life together. I just love the fact that it is one of the strongest ministries in the life of this church. We have, and I've come unprepared with the statistics, but the statistic we have as far as adult life group engagement is one of the best I've heard from any church. If we are to be the church, we need to be modeling this stuff to the world around us, because this is the message of Christ, others. Community is the message of Christ, because it is the purpose of God. That was his design at creation, that we would live in community with one another. You cannot and will not ever thrive, certainly spiritually, alone. And friends, I do believe that we are in a spiritual battle, but we as God's people have to ready ourselves for battle. The Bible is so incredibly clear on this. We are in a spiritual battle, and in that context, we need each other. In isolation, we are incredibly vulnerable. We are better together. We are stronger together. Hebrews 10 and 24, again, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.